Blog Talk Radio.
Where did our us go, occupier? Oh, occupier, please tell me, have you seen anything ever so empty as the plots where we set our tents down in the now sterilized plazas, which play host only to this long, tubular wind which has swept away the final stand of an admittedly perceived righteousness, like an enormous cosmic vacuum cleaner operated by men with hoodies and ski masks. Yes, the police of the underbelly with their ubiquitous rallying cry, occupy this cat biatch, wrapping our sleeping bags around our necks like convenient nooses to be dragged away by uniformed sanitation mercenaries, leaving only these darkish stains and a view of a red traffic light in the 14th and Ogawa intersection, beneath which is a Prius with a Got Hope bumper sticker, idling. Do you remember? Somewhere between Waco 93 and the composting of our grimy walls and floor, these rebels don't give a shit enough to keep clean anymore. Buried in here lie the remains of the sexual revolution within these heaps of rot strewn about the Occupy. There's a forgotten labor movement crumpled at the bottom of a hippie's duffel bag. A civil rights mandate is saturated in pizza grease. The only movement visible now is towards the horrible clarity of sobriety. We have been squatting beneath these barricades, these canvas barricades, for so long now. Long enough for history to grow fuzzy via time exposure. Long enough to think that maybe recess is over, and maybe the bell rang, and maybe we missed it. Do you remember when the enemy's advance battalions arrived in their matching Circle K polyester? Do you remember when they surrounded us and just camped out, swilling crazy horse malt liquor and processing vast amounts of legalese? And yes, our bastions were shelled by batteries of forms. Our turrets were strafed by business return envelopes. An impressive armada of B-1 bureaucratic bombers dropped their payloads of competing deregulated utility bills and eviction notices upon our heads, and we laughed. We pointed in their faces and we called them names, and they in turn rolled out the high-pressure hoses and opened them upon our ranks, dousing and bruising us with millions of gallons of CNN agitprop. And still, we laughed and pointed and took our eternal youth for granted. But don't you remember when American Express's special assault forces scaled their way through our computer monitors and found their way into our wallets? When treaties were nailed to the front gates, promising truce in exchange for allowing the insurance Gestapo to impose an existence tax? And so many stuck their heads out and said, all we want is for our drugs, sex, and rock and roll to be on sale down at the discount mall. And many others stuck their necks out to protest this was not at all what the rest of us wanted, and their heads were blown off by Wall Street pundits safely ensconced within their sniper's nest. And after much moaning and mourning and tragedy-making over those events, then came the inevitable diplomatic concierge of Hollywood agents, recording industry executives, and Silicon Valley angels waving their mall itineraries and proclaiming, we've consulted with Jesus, and Jesus says one out of three ain't bad. And many others stuck their necks out to say, we'll take it. And when those few of us who were left stuck our necks out to protest that this was even less than what the rest of us wanted, we were ethnically cleansed from our families, our communities, and our lives by investment speculators wielding invisible profit certainty of mass destruction. I remember looking for a way out for those few of us who were left, and then eventually looking for a way out for only one. I remember seeing daylight through cracks in the wall and clinging to the seduction of offered passage there, only to see that daylight fade behind the mounting paperwork mortars that once seemed so harmless. I remember these things happening again and again, too many times to count. It's just the way things cycle here in the Occupy. Like I said, history has grown fuzzy, and I think the electricity has been cut off and the escape routes blocked. And I do believe that urban khaki stormtroopers have gapped the plumbing. And that's okay, because those few of us who were left didn't want to go through a social cleansing anyway. It would have been unsatisfactory knowing what awaits the activist party lizard that manages to survive till the gray dawn light. We would rather wallow and stink in the squalor of our bunker. We would rather smile, and wait for that moment when the barricades that we erected and the tents that we sat down in the community that we tried to build, when all of that copulates with the special interest market forces, the diplomats, and the insurance Gestapo in a shining moment of clarity, when nothing stands between our sheer naked existence and their lust to consume and reprogram us in their image. In that moment is when we discover that the faces of demons, when looked at from afar, look exactly like butterflies. And what an amazing and beautiful moment that will be.
Word up. That was Paul Corman Roberts live at the Elbow Room recently. I believe it was around March 3rd. I could be wrong about that. You guys are listening to the Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed for repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Yeah, we've got some great stuff on the show tonight, man. I've got the whitest boy alive, and that's not talking about Frank Reardon. I see you there, Frank Reardon. How you doing, buddy? No, actually, we've got the whitest boy alive on the show tonight, as well as Birdie Nom Nom. Circle Jerks, once again, not talking about Frank Reardon. Big D and the kids table, as well as Rick Santorum. Everybody loves Rick Santorum. I do. I know you do. Number to call in, of course, if you would like to share your adorations for future President Rick Santorum, it's 805-856-2808. The internet connection is acting kind of shitty tonight, so we really are working around the repairs. So, that being said, we'll invite anybody and everybody to call in. I just can't guarantee that I'll get to you in a timely fashion, so hang out, Frank Reardon. For just one moment while we get things rolling and rolling here. This is Circle Jerks, Wild on the Streets. We'll be right back.
Wild! Wild! Big crime fighters and your newspaper writers still need a drug to kill my buzz. Wild in the streets, run
Adelaide. It was the closest I had come to making it in San Francisco. But in the end, I never did send Nicola at my resume. Would they hire both of us? Would we try to spoon in a bunk bed in the employee dorm? Would our sex life consist of sneaking into the shower late at night when no one would notice, like we did on our honeymoon after the grinding and groping behind the bunk bed's privacy curtain was no longer enough?
All right, that was Circle Jerks with Wild on the Streets. Running. You guys listen to Draconian Vampire Tunnel is Closed for Repairs, and unfortunately it looks like we still are closed for repairs. Internet connection is just acting way, way offhand tonight. So, I will say that we do have two callers on the line, area code 701 and 724. We'll get to you guys here momentarily, actually. Actually, you know what? I'm going to bring in 701 because I already know who that is. We already talked about Circle Jerk, so I might as well bring in our North Dakota correspondent, Mr. Frank Reardon. Frank, how you doing, big guy? You feeling okay out there?
Who is Frank? This is Rick Santorum.
Oh, hi, Rick. Hi.
I don't believe in women at all.
Excuse me, sir. What? I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
I don't believe in women at all. This is Rick Santorum.
Oh, okay. Great. So you don't believe in women, and I'm assuming that you're for homosexuality then, correct?
No. Just men standing in place doing nothing but being men.
Well, we...
This is Frank Reardon. I do not want to pretend to be Rick Santorum any longer.
Come on, man. That was good. You had it going there for a minute.
No, I don't have enough fucking douchebag jokes to continue.
Yeah, that's true. You can only say Frank Reardon enough times in a sentence before it just sounds redundant. So, that being synonymous with douchebag and everything. No, I'm just joking with you. Thanks for coming by, Mr. Frank Reardon. I'm happy that you were able to stop by in your inebriated state. How about you share with our listeners what you're sipping on tonight, sir? Are you sipping on some crazy horse like Mr. Paul Corman Roberts was talking about?
A tall can of Pabst Blue Ribbon, actually.
Oh, very nice. Yes, I believe that is the choice.
It's like a dollar, man. You can't go wrong with a dollar after you hit the bar for a few whiskeys, and you come home and you don't want to drink any more whiskey because you know what tomorrow will entail if you do, so why not get the dollar can extra tall Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Indeed. Well, you make perfect sense to me, sir. Definitely.
That's a promotion for the show, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, yeah. Brought to you by Pabst Blue Ribbon. You guys can actually come out to Zyfez, New Mexico, which will be held November 3rd from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Blackbird Buvette here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you can actually get a pint of Pabst Blue Ribbon for $2. Really good deal. The greatest deal in the world. We're going to go right into Broken Bales, the Mall of the Misery, while I got an internet connection, Frank. Hold on, and we'll be right back, okay? Motherfucker, this is not working. This is not working at all. This is, we're still closed to repairs. One more time, Broken Bells. The Mall and the Misery. We'll try this one more time.
am poor, but my pants are tight. There are snacks provided at the Community Arts Center. I troll art openings for plastic cups of wine, cookies, chips, and guacamole.
All right, that was Broken Bells, The Mall in Misery. Yeah, it's a really great track. I got to say, really dig Broken Bells, of course, Danger Mouse, who will be making another appearance on tonight's show. I know you guys were talking about last week's episode, and you're like, God, how much Danger Mouse can you fit into a draconian vampire tunnel? Well, you know what? Here at the Literary Underground, we like to test that theory in many different dimensions, dynamics, cages, and what have you. I'm going to bring back in Mr. Frank Reardon, and of course I'm going to also bring in area code 724, who's been waiting very patiently. 724, how the hell are you?
How the hell am I? I'm doing,
how the hell
doing
are
pretty
you?
Well.
Good.
How are you? I tricked you. Usually I call in on a different number. So
oh,
this is
Lynn,
of course.
I know exactly who you are. I know exactly who I'm dealing with
here.
You
got it all.
Here,
you got
Alexander.
It all up in that brain of yours.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know. It's
yeah,
a wired mainframe. It's a wired mainframe.
It is. It must be. It must be. No, I was just, you know, I was disappointed because I was thinking I could curse out Rick Santorum tonight, but.
Well, we do have Frank Reardon. Frank, would you do us the honor of acting like Rick Santorum one more time so Lynn can give you a good verbal thrashing?
I don't like women. Women are stupid. I was
there you
touched
go, Lynn.
By a nun. I was touched by a nun as a child, so I hate women forever. What is contraceptive devices? I can't believe this shit. I'm running for president. Born in the USA.
Well, did you guys actually hear that in Georgia recently, this is just recently passed in Georgia, that they're not passing it, but they're trying to get the legislation passed that would require mothers to carry even stillbirths to full term, sort of like cows and pigs. Not stillbirths.
Well, that's
kind
of it. That's wicked bullshit, dude.
Yeah. Not a stupid.
I think
that's
Santorum would say that's making what did he say that it's making something a good thing out of a bad situation. I mean, I believe that's his view on it. That you can try to look at
what
the
do
right
you guys
side.
Feel about what do you guys feel about the chick that said something to Mitt Romney about getting free birth control, and Mitt Romney was all like, pay for it yourself. How do you feel about that?
Well, that was sort of Rush Limbaugh's point. Yeah. I mean, wasn't that sort of the idea behind his joke he got all that flack about? Because I guess what he was saying is, if you expect the insurance companies to pay for it, then what you're basically doing is paying women to be sluts. I mean, you know, it's sort of the same idea, I think.
These are the voices of our country right now, so I love it. I love this time. It's the end time,
it's the end game. But just saying, if you can get free birth control, shouldn't I be able to get free asthma inhalers? I mean, what's wrong with people with asthma? Shouldn't we get free shit, dude? I don't know. Fuck Mitt Romney.
You know what?
I'm not, like, sticking up for Mitt Romney, but, you know.
No, you know why there's a difference?
Free,
because
free shit, too.
Because it depends on whether or not you look at contraception as a health issue versus a moral or, it's to a lot of people, it's a health issue. I mean, first of all, it's not necessarily just for birth control that people take these pills. I mean, people take them for hormone replacement. And so some people have said, well, you know what, if it's for a medical reason and you can document that, well, then. You know, I think their issue is whether or not religious and religious organizations should be forced to cover it in their plans. But, you know, I think they obviously are looking to broaden that to, you know, the question of whether insurance should pay for it. I mean, certainly if you go into a convenience store and you pick up a box of Trojans, I mean, they're not free. But, I don't know. I think asthma inhalers should be covered also. I don't think it's one or the other.
Well,
you
know what? I think Trojans should be free. Trojans free all around.
You trying to leave out the Magnums, bro? Like, what's up with that, man? Come on.
Some of us can't fit into
the Trojans, bro. I'm sorry.
The Magnums. You know, but people...
Magnums are free, too, Frank the Metropolis.
All right, all right.
Magnums are free, too.
You got to get the golden ticket, bro. Golden
You know, and health insurance companies are for profit. You know, we have to get over this idea in the United States that, you know, your health insurance company is some sort of charity with your best interests in mind. I mean, they're, you know, they're huge profit-making corporations, and their bottom line is not your health. They're in the business of making money. So, you know, they cover birth control because, honestly, it's cheaper than paying for you to give birth. It's cheaper than covering your child once it is born. I mean, the fact is they're going to cover it because, you know, it's a business decision. You know, covering your asthma.
I am debating you. You guys can have all the. You guys can have it free.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before we get any other debates going, I got an internet connection. I think this is a well placed time for it. Les savez fav. Brace yourself, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
excerpts from Writing on Drugs. All writers on drugs become ghostwriters for their drugs. Shamanistic cultures are familiar with the notion that substances have more to say than their users. Even the most recreational drug users can be profoundly affected by their Friday night adventures, just as package vacations can sometimes change lives. Like all journeys, drugs can override the motives and intentions with which they begin.
All right, that was Les Savés Faves, or Less Savvy Fave, or I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Anyway, brace yourself. Before that, of course, we were about to get into a very adamant discussion about birth control and what have you, but first, coming up next, Project U Newsfeed. Today's news feed, of course, brought to you by The Literary Underground. You guys can go to www.theliteraryunderground.org for all your Draconian Vampire information as well as Project U radio information. And you can also go by and find links for Citizens for Decent Literature, which featured none other than Mr. Paul Corman Roberts this week. I believe it's actually cast every 3 days there, but currently up there right now is Mr. Paul Corman Roberts. Great poem. You guys definitely go by there. Check that out. The news feed itself is actually about Primal Urge magazine, which I believe Mr. Frank Rudin has a piece in the upcoming issue. So congratulations on that, Frank. But you guys can go to www.primal-urge-magazine.com. And you guys can definitely check out. The great thing about that website, actually, is that you can read issues right there on your computer. So you don't even have to buy a print copy, like all you lazy bastards out there. Of course, they are accepting submissions, so you guys can send prose essays, as long as it's 1,500 words or less, as well as poetry there. And quite fond of the poetry editor there, Mr. Bill Gaynor. So, Frank, is it true that... is it true that when you write poems that you don't use contraception? Is that true?
Nope.
No.
Shit. Not since like the 70s. Not since like the 70s, man.
Not since like the 70s, yeah.
Back in the 70s, you totally had to do that shit. But, you know, ever since AIDS, you've had to slap on a Jimmy to write a poem.
That is awesome. When... Lynn Alexander.
Yes, Frankie, how are you?
Hello, hi. Were you catnapping there?
No, I was not. I wasn't. Although, you know, I'm always fond of pointing out that it's 1:30 in the morning on the East Coast, and yeah, and I keep pointing that out. You know why I keep pointing that out? I point it out because I want you to understand that it's that I, you know, I like your show so much that I try to stay awake, you know.
We appreciate your dedication here in the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, Ms. Lynn Alexander.
It's like one of those things, you know, tomorrow when I'm like dragging my ass around,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm cursing Frankie Metro, I'll be like, you know what, but... You know what? Every time I yawn, it's like a yawn of love, man.
Oh yeah. And I usually get that breeze coming through. I'm gonna do this one for you, Miss Lynn Alexander. While I do have the internet connection, we're gonna play. We Scratch Perry. This is Black Panta. This ought to put you to sleep. We'll be right back.
Darling, the meek and the humble, welcome to Blackboard Jungle. So don't you fumble, just be humble.
All right, Black Panther, Lee Scratch Perry, a little music to lull our friend Lynn Alexander right to sleep. Lynn, are you asleep yet?
No, no.
Oh, man, God damn it, it didn't work. All right, well, that's fine. You can stay awake with us and hang out and talk about... I was actually going to say, it's a good thing that I played that before I asked you the question I was going to ask you originally. Lynn Alexander, do you wear a dental dam when you perform open mic performances?
I do. I do. You know why?
I
believe I believe in maintaining the pristine condition of, you know, the foam covering on the microphone sheath. I think it could be called a sheath.
Yes, it's definitely called a sheath, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm respectful. I'm respectful.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course you are. It's not like you're disrespectful like Frank Reardon or anything.
No.
Frank. Yeah, hey, Frank. Hey.
What?
Was that you yawning earlier? Was that you yawning?
No.
You okay?
Huh? I don't yawn.
Yeah, you do. I heard you. You totally yawn, bro.
Since the 70s.
Oh, God. You in the 70s, man. So hung up on the 70s. So.
I think he's in an 80s mood tonight, like a Breakfast Club kind of mood, like a Judd Nelson.
Don't you forget about me.
All right, well, this brings up a good question here. Lynn Alexander, if Frank Reardon was part of the Breakfast Club, which character do you think that Frank Reardon would be?
He would definitely be the Judd Nelson character, only because we already discussed that.
we discussed this.
Yes, we've had that. We actually had this discussion, and we already established that. So, yes, he would definitely be that character, and he would, that's without question.
And Frankie Metro would be the Anthony Michael Hall character.
Why the fuck? I was going to say that you were Anthony Michael Hall, motherfucker. Like, anything, I'm Emilio Estevez, and I'm wrestling you to the ground, bro. That's the way that's going to work out. That's the way that's going to work out. Lindsay Thomas has actually informed me that she would be the brunette who scratches her hair and all the lice falls out. Or the dandruff. I'm sorry, it's dandruff. The dandruff falls
Frank,
on the notebook.
Do you believe
and...
in cosmic?
Mm-hmm.
I did discuss this with Lynn Alexander, so apparently we're going to have to put on a Breakfast Club play or something, because...
I'm totally down for that. Totally down for that.
We talked about the dandruff, too.
Oh, really?
We actually... Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's cosmic, because it's like Lindsay's, like, in tune, you know? Like synchronicity, you know?
That
well,
that
she
Tim
is.
Murray
yeah.
has, that Tim Murray has to play the principal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he needs that suit. Yeah.
Definitely see that.
Yeah.
Danger, danger, really, danger, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Speaking of danger, coming up next, we've got Danger Doom, which is a combination of MF Doom, a rapper that you guys may or may not have heard of, as well as Danger Mouse, making another appearance on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, which is still closed for repairs. You guys can call in. Number is 805-856-2808. We still have 17 minutes left of live streaming. So, still got a bunch of bands to play, a bunch of stuff to do. And we've got Lynn Alexander and we got Frank Reardon here. So you guys definitely stay tuned no matter what you do. Coming up next, Danger Doom, Basket Case. You guys listening to Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed for repairs, and I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Hey. We'll be right back.
I want to discuss the last Fox debate in which a gay soldier got up at the debate on video and asked whether or not, as president, you would reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Here's what you said to him.
Any type of sexual activity has absolutely no place in the military, and the fact that they're making a point to include it as a provision within the military that we are going to recognize a group of people and give them a special privilege to removing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I think tries to inject social policy into the military.
Senator, you say sexual activity has no place in the military. Heterosexuals have been openly heterosexual for centuries in the military without any problems, and you talk about gays not being given or that they shouldn't be given special privilege. All that Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the repeal of it does is say that they are given the same rights as everybody else has had for forever.
Well, the problem is that sexual activity with people who are you are in close quarters with and who happen to be the same sex is different than having a discussion and being open about your sexual activity where there is you're not in that same situation. So you're talking about injecting, as I said.
Wait
before.
A minute. Are you saying you think that homosexual gay soldiers are going to sit there and go after their male counterparts in the barracks?
I didn't suggest that.
You said they're in close proximity.
They're in close quarters. They live with people. They obviously shower with people. The whole kinds of all the things that are involved in living in a barracks or living out in the field. Those are issues that, again, some people. You're not talking about that individual person, but you're talking about the ability for people to be able to have that unit cohesion, to be able to work together in an efficient fighting way, and obviously, and also by the way, the effect on retention and recruitment of people to live in that environment. And yes, there are people who would feel uncomfortable in that environment,
and as
a result, it could hurt our ability to retain and recruit and to put the best fighting force in place.
Senator, if I may follow up, because we really are running out of time, and it's continuing on this conversation. You say don't inject social policy into the military. Their job is to fight and defend, and they're not a social experiment. I want to put up a quote for you. The Army is not a sociological laboratory. Experimenting with Army policy, especially in a time of war, would pose a danger to efficiency, discipline, and morale, and would result in ultimate defeat. Does that sound about right, sir?
Roughly, yes.
That's a quote from Colonel Eugene Householder, who was in the Army Adjutant General's office in 1941, arguing against racial integration of the military.
Yeah, I figured. I've heard similar quotes. It's very, very, very different. I mean, we're talking about people who are, simply different because of the color of their skin, not because of activities that would cause problems for people living in those close quarters.
Senator,
it's a very different
Colonel Householder, and I read his
Senator, I
read Colonel Householder's comments yesterday. Everything that you said, living in close proximity, sharing bunks and showers. Being in close proximity, he used exactly the same arguments you used to argue against racial integration of the military in the 1940s.
Yeah, I understand that, and I know the whole gay community is trying to make this the new Civil Rights Act. It's not. It's not the same. You are black by the color of your skin. You are not homosexual necessarily by the color of your skin or
no,
anything
but you
else.
Are by
it's by a variety of the.
I mean, it is a fact of your biology. Obviously, it's one thing if somebody, is coming on to somebody in a room, but the sheer fact that somebody is a homosexual, you're saying, I mean, these are all volunteers. They're all defending to protect our country, sir.
That's exactly the point, Chris. They are all volunteers, and they don't have to join in a place where they don't feel comfortable serving with people because of that issue, and that's the problem, Chris. And look, the idea that somehow or another that this is the equivalent that being black and being gay is the same is simply not true. There are all sorts of studies out there that suggest just the contrary, and there are people who were gay and lived the gay lifestyle and aren't anymore. I don't know if that's the similar situation. I don't think that's the case with anybody that's black. So it's not the same, and I know people try to make it the same, but it is not. It is a behavioral issue as opposed to a color of the skin issue, and that makes it all the difference when it comes to serving in the military.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we all lived through the 70s, the clothes, the music, the heartwarming but rarely amusing Ziggy cartoons. Now, later, who are we to look at these two fine young men and say, you there, I sit in judgment of you.
For being a drunken lust and bad as hell, read the charges, tongue sucking in a plush padded cell, temperpedic, crapmatic, adjustable, gone, try to scare it, it's not that combustible. I accidentally spilled some kerosene and dozed off with the L-lit doped up on therazine. Matter of fact, make mine a double. If you could see the point like a line through the Hubble. Doom hit the eye in the sky with a pie. Shrink said he thinks he believes he can fly. Spread his wings and flap like a goose. He'll show you how to do it if you help him get the scraps loose. Diagnosed with shell shock from totem toast. He still can hear the bell rock, doc, another loading dose. He claims he couldn't take the racket. Thinks his own escape in an eight ball straight jacket.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this animal here, this ursine, unclean. He rejected society and retreated to a cave in the woods to plot his vile plot.
Isn't it true that at these times he often sometimes actually adopting another person's persona. I started punching once I saw a son lunging. He had me put on punishment for eating the last munchkin. So now they got me down here near the dungeon. Nurses all arguing over who should do the sponging. He requested time off for bug behavior and rhymed off a thug beat spoke by a neighbor who spoke with his sister, kept a mirror with a thumb hole. Fell 12 drum roll, old to a gummer soul. A OG like a captain that's retired. Rappers and space cadets yapping, be quiet. Then that's the order, ship your daughters to my quarters at once. And don't sip the tap water, dunce. He is a super, a stranger who talks to you. Maybe even offer tech support and walk you through. Villain, man in the mask, spit in the face. Show him where to go inside a hand basket case.
The defendant's confession! Mentor commands you to proceed with your case.
Just since some people wear a mask, don't mean they did nothing automatically.
Your Honor, I'd respectfully like to have
a word with you. I request an immediate dismissal on the grounds that.
Your Honor, I.
Just since the mask, some people wear a mask, don't mean that they did something.
The Secret, Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. I keep saying I'm going to find a suitcase full of drugs and money at the bus stop, or at least $5,000 stuffed into the seat back pocket of my next flight.
That was Danger Doom with Basket Case, which I think is kind of fitting, since we are talking about Rick Santorum, and we're also talking about Frank Reardon. We're talking about Lynn Alexander. We're talking about Frankie Metro. We're talking about tunnel voices, and we're talking about draconian vampires. So, hey, why not throw the terminology basket case in there? I think, what do we got coming up next here? I think we got Band of Horses coming up next. Before that, I did want to check in with our guests who are still holding tight, Mr. Frank Reardon and Ms. Lynn Alexander. Ms. Lynn Alexander, I was curious as to your opinion on the correlation between the quote that was posed to Mr. Rick Santorum inside the tunnel there that stated basically was against racial integration in the military and how Rick Santorum actually agreed with it until he found out such. I was just wondering about your opinion on that.
Well, I think that Santorum, I think he has a hard time keeping track of what he believes. I think that he's, I think he's an idiot of a man. I mean, that's an understatement. I think that it's moments where people are unscripted that their real feelings about a lot of issues come out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's the case with him. I think that sometimes he trips over his words and he gets tripped up in situations because I think sometimes those are, you know, the way he, I think that's the way he feels about a lot of these things, you know, particularly when he talks about women and their place and, you know, what their roles are and that kind of thing, you know, his attitude comes out. I think, yeah, I mean, and the argument about, you know, it creates strife, it creates difficulty in the barracks, I mean, all of that stuff. I mean, you know, I'm so tired of that argument because I don't think it bears out, you know, but we know this.
Interesting yeah. Point. Frank Reardon, when exactly was it that you decided that the military was no longer a safe place for you to engage in homosexuality at?
Once Rick Santorum reached under the covers.
Ah, okay. I think that's an excellent time to notice that, sir. Excellent time. Were his hands greasy at all? Can you tell us that?
No, they just had Jesus all over them.
Oh! They just had Jesus all over them. Oh, my. Quote of the night, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Frank Reardon, poet laureate of Minotes, North Dakota. Yeah, let's go into, let's see. How do you even follow something up like that, really, honestly? Band of Horses. It's a little song called Monsters, since we're talking about Rick Santorum and what have you. Band of Horses, Monsters, right here on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel. Still close to repairs. We'll be right back. Did not go as well as I thought it would. But anyway,
Why not?
You know, you didn't even give me any reaction. I was wanting some kind of crazy reaction from you. I'm searching for craziness.
Because, you know what? Because I'm introspective. I'm like a thinker.
Oh.
I sit with things, and people are always bothered by that. People always say things to me, and then they're like, "Oh, fine, whatever." I do. I mean, I get that all the time, and like I try to say no. It's because I'm absorbing, and I'm I'm processing, and I'm
like a sponge.
It's in my
like a processor sponge. Yes.
Yeah, but it's not an offensive thing. It's I feel like. I feel like my slow reaction time is like honoring, what I've heard, because, it's like I'm sitting with it for a minute,
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you drink something, like good wine, you don't just immediately swallow it down and,
Well, I do because I'm a Neanderthal and a barbarian. So I do that kind of stuff, but, I don't have any table manners, Lynn Alexander, and I never said that I did, so... Here we go.
You're pretty good. I've seen you at a table. I've seen you.
Yeah. Well, did you happen to notice in Chicago? I think I was the only one that did not put the napkin on my lap. I was the only one.
You know what? The beauty of a group like that is that we don't even notice those things. I don't think we go around and make those kinds of distinctions about who is a napkin holder.
Well, by God, I
not.
Do. So, I do.
You know?
That's how I size people up.
Well, apparently.
That's why you guys are cool in my book. So.
No, but you know, I don't think it matters. I think that we're the kind. I think it's the kind of group. The good thing about the group that we had out there is that I think there are people that say, "Hey, you know what? You do your thing, I do my thing. Who cares?" You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Freewheeling, like is your favorite expression. Freewheeling.
Freewheeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. Processing and freewheeling, yeah.
Processing and freewheeling. I love it. I love it. Lynn, on the topic of freewheeling, I'm going to give you the opportunity to search through your memoirs and your diaries and your contraception drawers. I want you to find something that would be suitable to read amongst our draconian vampire listeners out there. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not prepared, being that it's now, I'll tell you, it's 2 o'clock.
Yes, 2 a.m., yes. And then I'll let you off the hook and you can go to bed. How about that?
Oh, gosh. You know what? It's to the point I don't even know, like, what the hell I've read on here already and what I haven't, and I don't know. I'm very, very disorganized.
Well, I'll give you the opportunity. I'm going to play another song, and then I'll give you the opportunity to find something, okay? We'll do that.
All right.
Can you make it
hey,
through another
Frank?
Song?
Did we lose Frank Reardon?
We lost Frank. I don't
he's
think he's
in bed. I...
Yeah. Or you know what? No, I'll let you off the hook this time. It is 2 a.m. there. I'll let you off the hook this time, Lynn Alexander. You get a pass this time. Yeah.
Okay. I get a go to bed pass.
Yes, you get to go to bed, Pastor. Just remember one thing before you go to bed. The next time that you walk through the draconian vampire tunnel after dark, you walk in the middle of the tracks. That way everybody knows you're neutral. Just remember that.
Well,
yeah, so there
and you catch,
contemplate
and
it.
You catch the whispers that way.
Yes, exactly. Always walk in the middle of the tracks. Lynn Alexander, really appreciate you coming by and hanging out with us tonight, okay?
Good night, Frankie.
Good night. All right. This one last send-off for Miss Lynn Alexander. We're going to play, this is Big D and the Kids Table. Song is called... what is this song called? Big D and the Kids Table, She Knows Her Way. Yeah. Draconian Vampire Tunnels closed for repairs. We still got 54 minutes left. I still got plenty of tracks left. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. And hey, you know what? We always come back. Okay, apparently we're still close to repair. So, we're coming back a little bit quicker than usual this time around. Hopefully we can get some repairs going. In the meantime, did want to take the opportunity to let everybody know about Zygote in My Fez, California, which is actually coming up very soon. I believe that's actually July. I want to say the 7th. Yeah, July 7th. More information about that coming pretty soon, as soon as that develops, of course. And, yeah, that's the way it's going to work. Let's try this one more time. Big D and the Kids Table. She Knows Her Way. Draconian Vampire Tunnels closed for repairs, and we'll be right back.
The violinist leader, violinist spending!
During World War II, very many brave men and women died for their country in order to help free occupied Europe. They also died fighting against a powerful, heinous ideology, an ideology that still survives and thrives today. Even though those who perpetrated this ideology through the ruthless Third Reich essentially no longer survive. The ideology of Lebensunwerthesleben is the Nazi phrase for life unworthy of life, or life not worth living. It was a Nazi term for those human beings who the Nazis believed had no right to live and thus should be killed. This included the physically or mentally disabled, the weak and the feeble, those with deformities, those who were burdens on society and others, those who were useless with no apparent function in society, those with inferior genetics when compared to the ideal. Consistent with the Nazi ideology of life and worthy of life was the Nazi implementation of abortion into German society. In 1933, when the Nazis came to power, the law was changed to legalize abortion and make this a matter of decision for a medical review board. The development of Germany's abortion policy was left to the country's most vociferous abortion advocacy group, the Berlin Chamber of Physicians. This group, which advocated abortion on demand, determined that the health of the mother, considered from all angles, is the decisive factor. Then, just as now, health of the mother
Lady.
now it's time for Stupin Moskovitz Book of the Week, starring Stupin Moskovitz.
Hello. Welcome to Stupin Moskovitz Book of Week. I am host Stupin Moskovitz. Today's selection comes from Franz Kafka, Metamorphosis and Other Stories, produced by Penguin Library. Children on the Road. I heard cats going past garden fence, and sometimes I could see them too, through the shifting gaps between leaves. How wooden spokes and axles creaked in hot summer. Laborers came home laughing from fields, laughing scandalously. I was sitting on little swing, just having rest among trees in parents' garden. Activity in front of fence was never ending. Children ran past and were gone. Carts loaded with grain, with men and women on sheaves, and all around flower beds were getting darker. Towards evening, I saw gentlemen strolling along with cane, and a couple of girls walking arm in arm, other way stepped aside into grass as they greeted him. Then the birds flew up like corks out of bottle. I followed them with eyes, saw them climb in single breath until I no longer thought they were rising, but that I was falling. And clinging onto ropes in my dizziness, I began involuntarily swinging a little. Before long, I was swinging harder. Breeze had grown chillier, and quivering stars had replaced the birds. That was Children on the Road by Franz Kafka. You can find the book at Phoenix Public Library after I return it. Thank you. All right, that was Big D and the Kids Table. She Knows Her Way. Really great song. Dig that track a lot. And yeah, that's the way that goes. Unfortunately, it looks like we're having some more internet connection problems. So we're going to try to get things back in order here in the Draconian Vampire Tunnel. I do appreciate Ms. Lynn Alexander and Mr. Frank Reardon, of course, stopping by and hanging out with us as long as they did. Coming up next, Birdie Nom Nom, Trans Malone Express. We'll be right back.
Albuquerque Alvarado Transportation Center, 25 minutes to kill. Read the Harvey House history on the wall. Watch pigeons trying to act cute to woo the fat man with a sandwich into throwing them some crumbs. Think about Alvarado, the first European, for better or for worse, to make contact with the Acoma and the Tiwa. Wonder if that lady on the 66 yesterday was a crack whore, or if she just wore the sunken leather death mask for a face. And the young girl on the bus with her, her daughter. Think about the parent-teacher conferences. Maybe I'm wrong. And then there's a lady on my left. She watched as I passed by. I thought she gurgled some words at me as I passed. She lifted one leg like the Karate Kid. I sat down and glanced her way out of the corner of my eye. Saw a string of drool 3 inches long hanging from her bottom lip before sitting down and rummaging through her purse with one hand. With the other, she daintily held her metallic non-spill coffee cup with one finger out, occasionally addressing the passengers in the empty seats with a gesture.
All right, that was Birdie Nom Nom, Trans Bologna Express. I like to just call it Trans Bologna. You say Bologna, I say Bologna. It's all a bunch of baloney. Anyway, we're going to keep things rolling here. I'm going to jump into this one. Is actually from request by Mr. Frank Reardon. This is The Kinks, and even though I don't like The Kinks, Frank Reardon. I'll play this one for you, buddy. This is Muswell Hillbillies.
Morning, I'm gonna miss. seeing an anti-abortion bill that I think is probably the worst that I've ever heard of. This anti-abortion bill would basically exempt doctors from malpractice lawsuits if they lie to a woman in order to prevent an abortion. So I'll give you an example. If the woman has a fetus that has severe birth defects, the doctor can lie to that woman and withhold that information from her in order to prevent her from getting an abortion. If that fetus threatens the woman's life, he can withhold that information.
Oh, come on.
The only, I know, it's amazing.
Come on.
The only way that a doctor could face a lawsuit is if the woman actually does die, he can face a wrongful death suit.
Oh, are they not merciful?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you don't tell my wife that it might threaten her life, and then she winds up dying. Oh, well, then I get to sue you. Right. Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. But if she doesn't die, let's say she's permanently disabled because something terrible has gone wrong. The kid is permanently disabled. I can't even sue you because you have decided because of your so-called morality that you're going to withhold that information and the state is going to back you up. I would counsel against that, man. You do that kind of stuff, and it leads people, when faced with that kind of injustice, to take the law into their own hands, okay? I mean, they're pushing people to do vigilante stuff. This is terrible, okay? And I know they think they got the market cornered on vigilante. They think, oh, hey, you know what? If they don't get their way through the law, what do? They assassinate abortion doctors, right?
Yes.
And it's a terrible way to go, and I don't want anybody going that way in any way, shape, or form. But this is outrageous, man. I can't tell you how angry I would be if my doctor withheld any of that kind of information from us. That ain't a doctor.
Last year, Kansas passed a lot of anti-abortion laws that are very, very hard on women who want to get an abortion. I'll give you an example. In Kansas right now, there's one abortion clinic. I looked it up. There's literally one. And what happens is, if a woman does want to get an abortion, she has to drive all the way to that one clinic, see the doctor, and then after talking to the doctor can counsel her against having the abortion, right? That's basically what the doctors do. And then she has to go home and wait 3 days and really think about it before returning to actually have the procedure done. So in...
Thank you.
Saturdays, the kids work at the restaurant. Chris is the older one. Sometimes he washes dishes or trains to work the line. He's 15, and he asks me what I'm doing for Halloween and stuff sometimes. You should come to our school dance and do this, and then proceeds to make thumping techno beats with his mouth and starts to dance. Anyone can come, he said. I like that kid. I think he deals with his parents by being a clown. McKenna is 10, and sometimes they have her work the register. The first day I met her, I watched her spank Contessa on the ass. Are you close friends, I ask. Just met her today. Wow. She regularly tries to extort me for dollar bills. She reads the tips on the credit card receipts. Let me have this one. Later, she tries to sell me raffle tickets for her softball team. She's a little chunky girl with type 2 diabetes caused by her parents' substitution of food for love and nonstop verbal abuse of everyone around them. Have you ever been sexually harassed by a 10-year-old girl?
All right, that was The Whitest Boy Alive, a little song called Gravity. And I think that's about it. We've got one more song, and I believe there's actually, man, there's all sorts of people crawling around in this tunnel tonight, so I'm not sure. There might actually be somebody that'll be saying something afterwards. I'm not. That kind of stuff happens, man. And you know what? People report it to me, and I never hear it. I really don't. So you guys are crazy. With that being said, I'm going to leave you with Augustus Pablo. Really love that name. Sounds like a Don of some sorts. This is Augustus Pablo. The song is called The Big Ripoff. Catch you guys next week. Same time, same... I'm not going to say same bad channel, but same Draconian Vampire channel. See you then.
The Tarantulas. Lo, this is the tarantula's den. Wouldst thou see the tarantula itself? Here hangeth its web. Touch this, so that it may tremble. There cometh the tarantula willingly. Welcome, tarantula! Black on thy back is thy triangle and symbol. And I know also what is in thy soul. Revenge is in thy soul, wherever thou bitest, there ariseth black scab. With revenge thy poison maketh the soul giddy. Thus do I speak unto you in parable, ye who make the soul giddy, ye preachers of equality. Tarantulas are ye unto me, and secretly revengeful ones. But I will soon bring your hiding places to the light. Therefore do I laugh in your face, my laughter of the height. Therefore do I tear at your web, that your rage may lure you out of your den of lies, and that your revenge may leap forth from behind your word, justice. Because for man to be redeemed from revenge, that is for me the bridge to the highest hope, and a rainbow after long storms. Otherwise, however, would the tarantulas have it. Let it be very justice for the world to become full of the storms of our vengeance. Thus do they talk to one another. Vengeance will we use, an insult against all who are not like us. Thus do the tarantula hearts pledge themselves. And will to equality, that itself shall henceforth be the name of virtue, and against all that hath power we will raise an outcry. Ye preachers of equality, the tyrant frenzy of impotence crieth thus in you for equality. Your most secret tyrant longings disguise themselves thus in virtue words. Fretted conceit and suppressed envy, perhaps your father's conceit and envy, in you break they forth as flame and frenzy of vengeance. What the father hath hid cometh out in the son, and oft have I found in the son the father's revealed secret. Inspired ones they resemble, but it is not the heart that inspireth them, but vengeance. And when they become subtle and cold, it is not spirit, but envy that maketh them so. Their jealousy leadeth them also into thinkers' paths, and this is the sign of their jealousy. They always go too far, so that their fatigue hath at last to go to sleep on the snow. In all their lamentations soundeth vengeance, in all their eulogies is maleficence, and being judged seemeth to them bliss. But thus do I counsel you, my friends. Distrust all in whom the impulse to punish is powerful. They are people of bad race and lineage. Out of their countenances peer the hangman and the sleuth-hound. Distrust all those who talk much of their justice. Verily in their souls not only honey is lacking, and when they call themselves the good and just, forget not that for them to be Pharisees nothing is lacking but power. My friends, I will not be mixed up and confounded with others. There are those who preach my doctrine of life and are at the same time preachers of equality and tarantulas. That they speak in favor of life, though they sit in their den, these poison spiders, and withdrawn from life, is because they would thereby do injury. To those would they thereby do injury who have power at present. For with those the preaching of death is still most at home. Were it otherwise, then would the tarantulas teach otherwise, and they themselves were formerly the best world maligners and heretic burners. With these preachers of equality will I not be mixed up and confounded. For thus speaketh justice unto me, men are not equal, and neither shall they become so. What would be my love to the Superman if I spoke otherwise? On 1,000 bridges and piers shall they throng to the future, and always shall there be more war and inequality among them. Thus doth my great love make me speak. Inventors of figures and phantoms shall they be in their hostilities. And with those figures and phantoms shall they yet fight with each other the supreme fight, good and evil, and rich and poor, and high and low, and all names of values. Weapons shall they be, and sounding signs, that life must again and again surpass itself. Aloft will it build itself with columns and stairs. Life itself into remote distances would it gaze, and out towards blissful beauties. Therefore doth it require elevation. And because it requireth elevation, therefore doth it require steps, and variants of steps, and climbers. To rise strifeth life, and in rising to surpass itself. And just behold, my friends, here where the tarantula's den is, riseth aloft an ancient temple's ruins. Just behold it with enlightened eyes. Verily he who here towered aloft his thoughts in stone, knew as well as the wisest ones about the secret of life. That there is struggle and inequality even in beauty, and war for power and supremacy, that doth he here teach us in the plainest parable. How divinely do vault and arch here contrast in the struggle! How with light and shade they strive against each other, the divinely striving ones! Thus, steadfast and beautiful, let us also be enemies, my friends. Divinely we will strive against one another. Alas! There hath a tarantula bit me myself, mine own enemy. Divinely steadfast and beautiful it hath bit me on the finger. Punishment must there be, and justice. So thinketh it. Not gratuitously shall he here sing songs in honour of enmity. Yea, it hath revenged itself. And alas, now will it make my soul also dizzy with revenge. That I may not turn dizzy, however, bind me fast, my friends, to this pillar. Rather will I be a pillar saint than a whirl of vengeance. Verily, no cyclone or whirlwind is Zarathustra. And if he be a dancer, he is not at all a tarantula dancer. Thus spoke Zarathustra.